Okay, before we start with this response pack, I think there was still some confusion about the status of this management commentary practice statement. So it is really not the purpose of bringing it into the financial statements. It is totally voluntary, and you can comply all in the future with totally IFRS without not using the management commentary practice statement. So it is nothing which you want to bring into the financial statements. Having that said, I think we will start with group one, which is this time from the US.
Thank you. Well, in our group, I'm going to step in by the three issues. The first on strategy. After we cleared that this information could include quantitative data, but would not require quantitative data, basically the members in the group support the guidance as presented by the staff in the papers. They insist nevertheless on how you portray the interrelationships with other parts of the management report and particular business model. So that is very important that all this is anchored into very concrete description of what an entity does and how it intends to move forward. And the point also was made on the use of terminology, so as to avoid as much as possible any form of political descriptions, ambitions that would not be relevant information. And finally, that this be done in such a way that you can see how the entity moves from period to period, including when it decides to make changes to its long-term perspective. That's for strategy. On culture, the users confirm that this is extremely important to them to have good insights into management attitude behaviors. Nobody in the group recommends to have a guidance that addresses culture separately. Rather, the members in the group are unanimous in the fact that all this is going to be drawn out of good disclosures, for example, what could be a sustainability report was given as an example. Information about how you deal with ethics, safety, human rights. And finally, not forgetting that it should include how the entity ensures that all these policies that have been put in place are effective. So not only describing what they do, but also very importantly, how they ensure that it is effective. Finally, question three. In fact, it's where we had the list discussion, and that reflects that it is a key aspect, and that the group is unanimous in supporting the staff proposal with a number of comments. On the first caption, that is the analysis of the current financial position, care is to be had that people do not replicate the financial information that is already contained in the financial statements, but rather have a high-level description of where is the entity. Of course, it must be consistent with the data so that the interrelationship can be right, but it should remain a high-level description so that people understand the strategy, the funding strategy that the entity follows, that these disclosures are highly effective when they're qualitative, was mentioned. And finally, also mentioned that the focus should not be on how the entity ensures that it does not become bankrupt, but really that it is the active strategy of the ups and downs, example was taken as to what do you do with the cash surplus and illustrate that point.
Okay, thanks, Francois. Nick?
Thank you. So I'll go through the questions in the same order as Francois, starting with the strategy then. And the first thing to say, I think overall the group, both preparers and users, were comfortable with almost a principle-based approach to the timescales rather than trying to set discrete periods that short-term should be 1 to 3 years and so on. So that was welcome. As had previously been flagged by Francois's group, important to identify when objectives and plans have been changed rather than just report on current objectives and plans. But probably the biggest takeaway from the group was the importance of embedding business model into this to understand the value proposition that a company is offering, and really to think about is there a step where you start with purpose, which is really around the customer proposition, and does that naturally then filter into business model? Is there a direct link there? So that was a very strong message that came back from our discussion of strategy. If we go on to culture then, this was felt to be very important, and that one of the users in our group says the first question he would ask any former employee that he met was what was the culture like in that business? You know, the first piece of information he wanted to get out of that conversation. But also to reflect that it's very difficult to be descriptive here, and what matters in terms of indicators will vary from company to company, from sector to sector. I liked how we looked at some discussions of the indicators that were set out by the UK FRC on page 16 of the deck. And I liked how it's described that all of those indicators can give a glimpse of the culture. They can provide an insight into the culture, but not the other way around. So a boilerplate description of the culture doesn't necessarily provide information about those specifics, but you can garner information by the way information is presented on some specifics. As a group, I think we were unified in our opinion that culture needs to be embedded throughout the narrative report, within the narrative report, and not be requesting a separate paragraph or a separate section on culture, which is most likely to be boilerplate in the end. So that was a very strong message. And indeed, a number of our preparers thought that they were there today, already embedding that in their narrative reporting. And then finally, on funding and requirements, and looking at what had been fitted into those blue boxes and what were in the black boxes in terms of what was in and out of scope. So I think from the preparer side, there didn't seem to be any particular impediment with what was in the blue boxes, that by and large that was there available already. There weren't any significant operational difficulties with that. There was some discussion whether the line that had been drawn between these two columns was a little artificial, and that it's actually more of a blur, and we had a particular discussion around stress testing and whether the desire to have more quantifiable data around stress testing. I'm not sure we reached a firm conclusion, but just to recognise that was a point that was debated and clearly desired for some to be able to verify that. And for me, the last point just to highlight was making sure that there's some differentiation or some recognition that there can be short-term and longer-term funding requirements, in particular aspects that can be that are less apparent today, perhaps around factoring, funding supplied by the supply chain, and so on. And if that exists or is a source of funding, perhaps, you know, that should be highlighted and referred to also.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Next is Gary.
At our group started with question 3 on funding, and I feel let's go through this in the order in which we discuss things. We probably spent the most time on funding than the rest of the questions that were asked. The first sense was that once you get out beyond a couple of years, forecasts and projections start to get to be challenging in terms of precision and variability to them. So basically put in the management commentary document what you want, but recognize that gets to be a big limitation quickly depending on how far out you want to go. The sense is the funding discussion needs to be tied into trends in your business cycle and or your longevity of your business cycle, and also changes in your business cycle, understanding when is the next generation technology coming that's going to be a big capital usage of use. Understand, for example, when all your major contracts are coming up for renewal and you might have a lot of capital funding to renew them or keep them going, or likewise lose the cash flows in them. So again, very much tying funding into the business strategy, business cycle in there. The comment, a little bit more tactical of a comment, if you have no immediate funding needs, there should be a discussion, what are you going to do with the extra cash? And we didn't get into what it would be, the obvious, you know, whether it's invested, distributed, or whatever, but in any event, whatever the time period that is discussed, it should cover at least a minimum of where of your material funding requirements, your material debt maturities, and so on. Your discussion should go out at least that far in it. And then, you know, lastly, one of the big user concerns is, what about, you know, the tail risks at the back end of all these things, to the extent that there's an issue inside of there that should be considered in here as well. That was the essence of the majority of our funding discussion, other than I'll just finish it. But if something is going to change in your funding strategy in a material way for longer haul, is that certainly should be part of this as well. On the first question about the business model, the general structure of it for strategy, I think general agreement, we're touching the right bases and looking at the right things. Some sense is that a lot of this is already discussed today, if not in audited financial statements, it's MD&As or it's in description of the businesses. So a lot of this information that we might be looking for is already out there in one form or another. There was some discussion about auditability in there, and we're going to make clear this is MD&As and major commentaries and strategic reports are typically not audited, but nonetheless the audit industry is represented on our working group, and the view is we're going to try to build the best product in Canada first and deal with verifiability after we kind of build it and go from there. We also discussed the Venn diagram of wider corporate reporting versus where it overlaps with financial reporting and MD&A type disclosures, and made it clear with agreement of the group is that we're not picking any other standard setter, any other particular level of detail or subject you discuss about. It's what materially affects your longer term business strategy or longer term business model, and we'll provide a platform for disclosures for it, but ultimately it's going to be subject to the usual materiality, consistency, and type standards. But the actual source of your guidance for what to put in there, other standard setters or whatever is, we're not going to get into that level of detail. We're going to provide, say, a landing zone we can talk about in a coherent, integrated way. Yeah, I think the sense of the room was that's probably not the right way to go about doing it. And then lastly, briefly, we're on culture. Get a sense, this is not its own section in the document. It'd be difficult to do. We really discuss culture in terms of the strategy of the company, and keep in mind that culture and governance in some ways are very big of overlap, and perhaps consider culture a little more in terms of governance. Another comment came up, which was sort of seconded, is that remuneration strategy for management and the executive management tells you a lot about the company's culture, and just consider that as this part section develops as well. But again, I think the key thing is keep it tied to your strategy, and to the extent you're going to be quoting statistics or something, harder statistics are much better than softer statistics to use. But again, don't divorce it truly from a governance discussion, because there's an awful lot of overlap. That's it.
Thanks, Gary. Last but not least, Tom.
Last, anyway. So we were assigned funding and liquidity as our first thing. Generally, I think there was, among both users and preparers, there was a lot of support for the three elements in slide 21. I think they were okay with our focus on factual information, but not necessarily going to forecasts would be good. There was a real concern, I think particularly for some industries like the financial industry, that when you actually respond to those three boxes, that whatever descriptions put in, that you would need a reasonable blend of quantitative and precise information. They were concerned that this was a place that boilerplate's always a danger, and this was a place that perhaps some guidance on how to be precise and how to be informative would be good. Just a small note on boilerplate too, when we were talking about that, I think someone made an interesting comment from the preparer side, is that when entities are not already providing the information internally, you're much more likely to get boilerplate in an external thing if you suddenly ask for it. I think that was a kind of an interesting point. So it's something about, you know, to the degree you're doing it internally and that's your view, then it's much easier to extend that into the management commentary. A couple of small things. Cash came up again. People, especially with large cash balances, why are you holding a large cash balance? Is it strategic? Is it tax related? You know, is it related to foreign exchange? Whatever those things are. Then we had a couple of specific things about fleshing out boxes two and to some degree three. It wasn't entirely clear, but with respect to box two, the suggestion from one or the users, which the others seemed to like, was that it would really be good to kind of understand the appropriateness of the funding by linking it to the intended purpose for the funding. So you could understand the funding better if you understood where it was going and why it was going there. And this kind of fed into a larger sort of sense about understanding the funding and financial risk in the context of the total risk. That there is, that entities, some more explicitly than others, think about their appetite for risk and their total risk, and then how do you blend the financial risk with the others would be a good thing if that could come out. So that was it, what we had on funding liquidation, or at least the part I can recollect. We also talked about strategy a bit. And again, there was, I think, strong support for the proposed three elements. Again, the same comments that the execution is going to be important and avoiding boilerplate will be critical. There was a bit of a concern about whether strategy belongs in the management commentary. There was a difference of views about should the management commentary be really concise and focusing more on operations with the strategy available elsewhere, and then would it be okay if you did want to put strategy in to just do it by reference? If it's available elsewhere, does it need to be available in the annual report? That seemed, I think, people were a little happier with that. So we weren't entirely clear about that. On the other hand, there was a view that it's great to have strategy in one place, and it's also very good to have strategy integrated. But we didn't come to a clear consensus on that issue. It's probably something that Matt's going to have to deal with. And I think, just lastly, there was a little bit of discussion about will the management commentary need to be a basis for what we're seeing as integrated reports that may become more and more common and demanded more and more, and do we need to think about how the management commentary is built with a sense of these other reports that may be coming down the line. I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Any further comments, remarks on this topic? That's the case. Matt, do you have anything to add?
Well, thank you, everyone. Very helpful. Some points for us to think around where we can provide insight on culture without necessarily being explicit. and certainly around the link between strategy and business model. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I still see a lot of energy for the last breakout session.